Who's ready to start the show? All right, I want you guys to go absolutely nuts. Bring the crowd noise up to a full 10 for me. Welcome to the stage, your host, Josie and Mel!
Oh, that's not me, that's you. Oh my God, yeah, who gave us yowies? I love I got Squishy, was my favourite.
Sorry, my bra's showing. That's really inappropriate.
Oh my gosh, hi guys. Again, like in Sydney, which you guys wouldn't
can't
know.
Can't see a thing.
Can't see shit. Can see this row.
Yeah. As far as we know, there's like, what, 12
don't even
people
know,
here?
Yeah.
That's great. I don't like more than that. More than that's nerve-wracking.
I'm like 12
puffed. 12's good. I'm puffed
just from
walking 4 metres.
Yeah. It was like, it was literally like 10-metre walk down the side.
But there was a lot of energy and exuberance
it
there.
Was, yeah.
Because we're so excited because we're here for the first time.
Yes.
There's definitely more than 12 people here. It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it sounds loud.
It's very loud.
And intimidating.
And it's sold out.
Yes. The best.
Which Sydney didn't do either time.
Rudeness.
And as I was just saying to Cam and Mel backstage, I'm not from Sydney, so I have no problem dunking on them as shit people. I cannot believe they didn't sell it out and you guys sold it out in like 5 seconds. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
The superior city.
Yes, agreed. What else? I don't know. I'm feeling real comfy. I said my pants, I feel like I could like climb a wall in them.
Billowy.
They're billowing. They're just like, woo. I don't got to stop doing that.
I'm
okay,
not
I'm gonna stop doing
comfy.
That.
I haven't been comfy for a few months. As you can see, I've got some big cankles going on. I tried to elevate. I had flight socks on all day. Didn't
and then
help.
She was trying to take her flight socks off and she's sort of stuck halfway. And I just hear this like,
and then I couldn't do my shoes up. It was, yeah, it wasn't good. And at the Sydney show, I sweated so much.
Yes.
It was alarming, like it was pouring out of me.
So what
and
you
Mel
brought?
Went first with her mystery and I was just like begging her to finish with her first page so I could have it as a fan. And she was just talking and talking. And as soon as she put it down, I was like... And then a lovely fan in the front row actually had a fan and gave it to me.
Yep.
And then
so
my mum...
I can't with this. It's so good.
My mum gave me this without even knowing that story. That's how in tune
and it's
she
matching.
Is.
Like
and she didn't know I was wearing leopard print, and she didn't know that I sweated 4 gallons. She just gave this to me.
It was
amazing.
Meant to be.
So I'll be. You can fan me while I'm talking.
Okay,
as
I will.
We did
fan
at the
you.
Last show.
Yep. It's
and
my
then
love
while
and
you're
life.
Talking, I'll fan.
I don't. I'm. Yeah. I mean, yes. I would love it. Actually, I would love the sort of Fabio.
Yes.
Hair energy of it.
Yeah.
So cool.
Should we start?
Yes. Let's
do
it.
Let's do it. Okay.
We have to put the a timer on now because our first show in Sydney, it was just chaotic energy all around, really, wasn't it?
Mel's saying we, but it was me. I talked for like an hour and a half.
But then
know.
I talked for 10 minutes. Like, I was like, oh, God, we've got to go faster. And then I just, like, rushed through it at my dad after. Dad and Mum are here somewhere. I don't know if
yes,
anyone's seen
Masons.
Them.
Yes, Masons.
I don't know where they are, but the Mason parents are in the house.
I could see your dad last time. It was very comforting to me.
Yeah, and you pointed
I
him
love
out.
I love to dunk on my own dad for never coming. He always gives me the inspiration for the cases, but he doesn't ever come and support me. So I've just adopted Mel's dad as my own supportive dad. But I can't see him now. So.
Well, I don't know where they are.
Oh, hey!
Oh, there he is.
They're
okay.
going to love that.
He'll be
they're
the beacon while I'm
so
talking.
So much. Anyway. They're like mini celebrities. I'm already sweating.
I know. Okay, I'll fan you. I'll be your fan.
Wait.
Person.
I'm not talking yet.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Nine pages. It'll probably go for an hour and a half. Let's be real. I'm pressing start. I hope you don't have plans.
Oh,
no, it's the tag that I forgot to take off.
It's all good. Let's leave it on there.
I thought they might have scissors here, but they don't. But otherwise, a great venue. Love it here. Love it here. Let's hope they record it like the first place didn't. Because I talked for an hour and a half, and then the great irony was they didn't fucking record it. So I just talked for no. I just kind of screamed
exactly
into the void. For no reason. That's why I redid that episode. But anyway, Mel.
Josie. I'm
friends.
So excited.
I'm here. Whoa.
Well, I'm too much?
Too much.
A little bit too much. I'll go like this. But then it's not leopardy. Okay, there we go. Fixed it.
I can't. Okay, so I just realised I can't pronounce this person's name. I even practiced it yesterday, but then I got nervous and now I'm like, is it Willy Koppen? Kirpen? Kirpen.
Kirpen.
It's German and I feel like Germans always kind of gag when Kirpen. They're talking.
Kirpen,
like that.
Kirpen.
Willy Kirpen.
Like Berghain. That's yes, the only thing I like know that. That's German.
So
that's
I'm
really
just,
all I know.
I'm just going to so call
lame,
him...
like a seedy club and that's it.
I'm just going to call him Willy because that's funnier anyway, right? Credits.
Credits.
There's an article from The Age by Tammy Mills, a great article. Basically, I'm just reading it back to you. That's how great it was. A Herald Sun article by Russell Robertson. Rangers Trader Mail. By Casey Neal.
What's Rangers Trader
Mail? I don't know.
No one cares.
Coroner's Court of Victoria Inquest findings. And the Cuckoo Restaurant homepage.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so Willy Kirpen, Koppen, something German. He was born in Berlin. I'm not doing too much backstory. That's where I fall over. That's when I talk for an hour about his history in Berlin. I'm just going to go straight into
he
him
just
coming
was born
here.
There
he was
that,
born
that.
There and then 26 years later he was here. He came here.
We don't need to know how or
we
why.
We don't need to know what happened in between. Nothing
did he
happened.
Have a few girlfriends? Did he?
We don't know.
How many dogs did he own? We don't know.
We don't know any
of
I that.
I would like to know that. Element if
the
we
dogs,
knew that
like little sausage dogs just
yes and he'd have three I reckon and they yeah. What would they be called like Kirpen Kirpen and Kirpen
what were the kids in the Sound of Music
Kirpen Kirpen
Fritz Hans and
Liesel
Liesel
I'm like oh Liesel
okay so in 1956 when he was here in Melbourne where he immigrated he met a fellow East German immigrant named Karen. Her name was Karen. And they started dating. So soon after moving here, he started working because in Germany he trained as a chef, but I didn't say that because I didn't want to be boring.
Yep.
But it actually is quite important. He trained as a chef, very good chef. He started working in some of the fancy hotel restaurants here and he got a German radio show
what?
That was really popular in the 50s, which seems weird because that was like peak Germany sucks.
Yeah.
The worst time. Yeah. But everyone was listening to his German radio show. And then he actually landed the first TV cooking show.
What? So he was like...
Yes.
He was like, what's his name?
He basically
Huey.
Walked so that Ian Huey Hewitson yeah. could run. He was the first. He did it. It was on Channel 7. It was called The Chef Presents. And
oh,
he was
that is
quite,
so boring.
Oh, here's a picture of him. There he is.
Odd. Oh, Willy.
Yeah, it was Willy.
Hello, Willy. Kirpenhagen.
Before he descended into alcoholism, you'll see those pictures later. He didn't quite keep those looks.
Oh,
that's
a shame.
Willy.
That's a damn shame.
There he is. So he was like quite a zesty person and it made for, like he became really popular and he was one of the first famous chefs and he like got ad campaigns and stuff because he was a good personality and a good cook. But it was only shown in Melbourne, so he was like just a local celebrity. And the show went for 5 minutes, but it was soon extended to 15 because it was that riveting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I feel like that's a big deal in the 50s when TV was
I think
new
so too.
To have a 15-minute show. That's big. Oh, wait, here's a picture of him as a chef.
Okay. Insignificantly less hot
yeah.
and now looking quite... uncomfortably obsessed with his tiny cherry tarts.
Yeah, and
like he sort
very
of looks
large
like
hat.
He's definitely poisoned the tarts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he looks to me like a James Bond villain.
He does.
Don't you think?
He does. He looks like the one with the teeth.
That kind of like pockmarked skin.
Yeah, and just like a little bit like psycho in the eyes, and like he hasn't
Jaws.
Slept in a few days. And Jaws.
Yeah,
the Jaws man. Is it Jaws?
Jaws. What was his name?
Teeth man. No.
Teeth man.
Teeth man. I get it confused with Austin Powers, which is very embarrassing.
Yeah.
And anyone that really likes James Bond is like, oh, God,
that's
Mel.
Like the spoof of the other
I'm
one.
Like, and the sharks with the lasers on their head. But anyway, never mind. Never
there
mind.
He is. So in case we didn't realise he was a chef, he provided that large hat to convince us of that fact.
Do you
think
any
chefs
wear
those?
I don't think
that's
they
like
wear
a prop.
Them.
I reckon the photographer was like, not chefy enough.
Yeah.
The kitchen, the tiny tarts, no, we need something
gotta
else
up
here.
The chef
Here's
level
an
here.
Enormous hat. So him and Karen got married in 1957. They were going to have three kids. Andre, Sabina, and Daniela. But before that, before they started popping out kids, they had fun. Which I'm going to learn is a thing of the past soon. They would go on drives. They had a combi van, and so they'd drive all around Victoria. And one day in 1958, they were driving along. Now, I don't know any of these places. If I say something stupid, I'm sorry. I'm not from here. They were driving along Mount Dandenong Tourist Road.
I know where that is. I know where that is even, weirdly.
I don't. they spotted a cute little place called the, I can't say this, Quambi tea rooms in the suburb of Olinda.
I don't know where that is, so.
Okay, here's a pic of him and Karen. It's courtesy of Archivist Media.
Archivist Media's really wants Channel you to know. News. Archivist Media like really wants you to know that they were
guys,
in that photo.
This is our photo. Okay? Don't think this is your
photo.
Like,
they've basically Channel put it across 7. Their faces.
Yeah. So I feel like that was before the James Bond
era. They don't
look
like they're having that much fun, to be honest. They're having sort of like a very low level of fun.
Yeah, but he still looks cute. I feel like that was when he was cute before he got James Bond villainy.
Yes.
But anyway, that's them. So I consulted Google Maps, and this place is about an hour's drive east of where we are right now.
Okay.
I know nothing about the Dandenongs. Is that what people call it? The Dandenongs? Dandenongs. Is it like the Blue Mountains?
I think it's like I've been there.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's mountains. Like a little, like a tiny bit. Like when I went, it was cold.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a bit grey.
That's the Blue Mountains.
Grey, always grey in the Blue Mountains. And there's I was mainly rooms. There looking at the cult family house.
Yeah.
Which is there. And I stood at the gates and sort of tried to stick my head through. And then my sister was like, we need to leave immediately. And we left.
Are there cults and the Dandenongs?
There's this cult, the family. You know the one with
the
woman.
I only know
the
family.
You know the
murders.
Woman, and she's got the really bad. She's got the very receding hairline. She's very bad.
Yes,
she's a very bad lady.
She's horrible.
Who is either dead or almost dead? She dead? Died. Goodbye to her. Anyway, she can definitely die. She was horrible.
We're not sad about it.
And she had all the kids. She adopted all the kids and then dyed all their hair blonde. You won. You do.
Yeah,
know
I know it.
It.
I know it.
Sorry.
I know it. I remember.
This is too far off the side.
It is because I was just asking if it was like the Blue Mountains. anyway, what it's like isn't really important to the story. They fell in love with the place. They bought it and they started a German-themed restaurant.
As you do.
They moved into the basement, which is a nightmare. What? Why would you the ever fuck? Move into a basement of anywhere?
Horrible.
Do we even have basements in Australia? It feels American.
We did.
But they moved in there. And one night, Karen was woken by the sound of a cuckoo bird call outside. Okay. So she woke him up.
What?
And said, we must name the restaurant the Cuckoo.
It
doesn't seem
Karen.
Like a waking up kind of thought.
Or
just write it down and tell him in the morning.
Yeah.
Because he needs
like,
to sleep.
This is a good idea. Let him have a sleep.
Yeah. Just note it down. Write it in your iPhone in 1958. And then tell him the next day. But anyway, they named it the Cuckoo.
Oh,
there it is.
Look at that. Someone's been
Has
there.
Has anyone been apart from that person? So it's like I looked in the Ulazi Mystery Hour group on Facebook. If you're not in it, why? You should be. It's
Absolutely
fun. It's the place
be.
To be. More so than the Cuckoo. And a lot of people here have been with like school groups, and if they're studying German, they'll like go.
Oh, yeah, like
it's
the
like,
Parisian
oh, this is
one in
German.
Sydney.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
No, because I'm from Newcastle. We actually literally went to Deli, France. Remember that cafe?
Oh, my God.
At the local so Westfield. They were like, let's go to Deli, France. And I'm like, I walk past it every day when I get off the bus. That's not exciting.
Oh, so
Can't we go to New Caledonia or somewhere where they speak French? Like other schools? No. Deli, France it is or nothing. That's Newcastle though. So, it's a buffet.
Oh,
a Germanic buffet.
Oh, that
restaurant.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's every food you ever want. That's schnitzel.
Schnitzel, sausages.
Goulash.
Goulash, that weird cabbage.
That cabbage thing.
Thing that I can't eat.
Sauerkraut. That's the one. Delicious.
So they introduced Aussies to the idea of a smorgasbord, and it was like quite outrageous and kitsch for the time. It had red and white check tablecloths. There was a floor show with people playing the tuba and like hitting cowbells and probably wearing lederhosen.
Oh,
I added that, but I'm sure they were. Like, I'm sure they weren't wearing jeans and t-shirts.
I think they were
probably
lederhosen
themed. There were ice sculptures on the tables. There was German paraphernalia everywhere and cuckoo clocks.
Ice sculptures on the tables is a bit much.
And according to this article in The Age that I basically plagiarised, Aussie prime ministers dined there and also rock stars, but they didn't name any of them.
Oh.
But like
boring.
Rock stars went there.
They probably mean like who's like the Wiggles, you know?
The Wiggles in 1958.
Yeah. Like as babies.
Like who was a rock star? And I can't even think of anyone. But it went for, it was there for decades.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe Jimmy Barnes went there. I don't know.
Oh, then we're talking.
Aside from it being like quite a unique place, there was also that A-list cred of Willie, the celebrity chef. So everyone, there were like lines out the door to get in to eat at the cuckoo.
Oh, because he
was like,
you know,
who
I thought he's like, he's more like Curtis Stone.
Yes.
You know, he would have been the Woolies man or the Coles man.
Yes.
With the Curtis. What is he? Woolies? Coles? Coles.
Yes.
He's the Coles man.
He's the Coles. Wasn't Jamie Oliver Woolies at
one
point?
Yeah, for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, they couldn't afford him, could they? Or to pay their workers the correct wages. So this continued on throughout the late 50s and 60s, but after running the cuckoo for almost 20 years, Willie's life started to unravel. And
uh-oh,
you'll see that in this photo.
Oh, Willie.
Yeah.
Oh,
not being
Willie
a bitch, but like the years.
The years have not been kind
to
him,
what's
have
that
they?
German schnapps?
Schnapps.
The schnapps was not kind to him. Poor Willie.
Poor Willie.
So like most of the men, Mel, in our stories, mm-hmm, Willie was swinging his dick around everywhere.
Willie.
He was.
Why
they
always
do it? They're always sluts.
All the men are sluts.
He was cheating on Karen left, right and centre. Ugh. But in a fun little zesty plot twist, so was she.
Fuck yeah.
Get it,
Karen.
Get it, Karen. Love that for her. They were both very aware of each other's extramarital affairs, and that's according to the coroner's report. That's not even
what?
From a
the
spicy gossip magazine. That's literally in the coroner's report.
That's like the coroner was just like having a goss session.
The coroner
was
like,
better put this in.
Oh
just
my God. These two. I'm going to put that in my report.
I'm just going to put in for a little bit of spice, a little bit of extra zest on the coroner's report there.
Anyway, so it was even thought Willie had bought a house locally for one of his flings to live in. His little side piece. This was on top of the family home, a holiday house in Sorrento, which I believe is around where our other favourite slut, Harold Holtz.
Oh.
We're missing, right? Is geographical Josie
slut
correct? See, I don't mind him being a slut because
yeah,
I just love him.
I just love him so much.
Love him so much. And he had a holiday house in the Whitsundays.
Oh my God, he is fucking loaded.
They were very rich. Like
Jesus.
The place was very successful. He had his TV spot. He had his ad campaign with
his
Heinz.
15-minute show.
And then Karen's main piece was a local lawyer who she saw pretty regularly. Not like for legal advice, for sex.
But also maybe legal advice.
Maybe. She just was really interested
like
in the
like
law.
Like a mid boning session. Like, what do you think about the legalities of me
if
and
I
Willie
drive on this side of the road and I overtake that guy, am I in the wrong? I'm learning, I'm getting my piece, so I'm very into road rules at the moment.
Loving road rules.
I love to like snidely comment when I see, but like before when we were getting the Uber, I was like, well, he did not check around his surrounds because we were waving at him and he drove past us. I'm like, you're supposed to be checking the road at all times for hazards. We are a hazard standing here. You would fail the test. I won't though, will I, guys? I'm not gonna fail. Thank you so much. I'm literally not telling anyone when I'm going. It's just like a big secret. Not even Julian. I'm just going to be like, I have an appointment. When you're pregnant, you can just say that you have appointments and everyone believes you. I tell these guys at work, I have an appointment. I just go and stand outside for half an hour.
Just stare at the
wall. I need some time. I have completely lost my spot.
Okay.
All right. So their marriage was on the rocks, but they stayed together for the sake of the business.
So it's not like an open marriage. Like they just
it wasn't open. They knew about it. They weren't happy about it.
Gotcha.
Sorry, but they stayed together because they were like fucking raking it in. And they had these three kids who they loved very much. But by the mid-70s, the older two, Andre and Sabina, were at boarding school in Adelaide and only Daniela lived at home. Mm-hmm. So things were so bad that he actually lived in a cottage on their property.
Aww.
So he wasn't even on the couch. Like he was the rich celebrity chef, was in the cottage.
That is a power move.
Yeah.
Karen. That is a power move. Karen.
And they still worked together. So she worked at the Cuckoo as well. But he was drinking a lot by this point, basically an alcoholic. He'd always been a bit eccentric, but he started having full-on mood swings. He flew off the handle. He's quite volatile to be around. Here's a pic from 1976. Oh my God,
he really just keeps getting worse, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not terrible there. He just looks about 700 years old.
And like, I feel think like we he was like 45 or something.
Yeah. But he doesn't look terrible.
Like my 7-year-old dad looks better than that.
Yeah, true.
Although I shouldn't be giving my dad compliments because he doesn't support my podcasting ventures. I reckon if we had a Newcastle show, he'd still be like,
no.
I think I'm busy. I'm making a cake for someone. He's always making a cake for someone.
Is this his
excuse. Yeah.
He likes to make cake.
He's always the birthday cake guy. If it's someone's birthday, he's the one that makes the cake.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll make us a cake and turn up.
That'd be nice. I can dream. Let's hope Wayne listens to this episode.
Wayne, if you're hearing it.
Yes. So on February 28, 1976, Willie was 46 at the time. He was, I've written here, acting particularly cunty, which was not in the Age article. I'm editorialising there. He was at the Cuckoo. He was blind drunk. He was verbally abusing the staff who were working, including his wife, Karen. So he'd been out of sorts for days. He'd seemed pretty down and he was making references to running away to the Whitsundays, to his home on Pool Island, half your luck. And he was even mentioning he was going to take a few ladies with him, not Karen.
Oh, my God.
Not Karen. So he was acting so badly that night, a friend of his, a local GP named Bernard Butler, ended up coming to see him to calm him down. So he arrived at midnight and the two of them had more drinks, which doesn't seem like the best idea.
I don't think that's a good way to calm someone down.
To calm someone down. You're a GP, mate. Like, is that really...
He's literally like, you know what fixes this? Wine fixes this.
Wine spritzer, because it's 1976.
Oh, right, you were. Yeah, of course.
West Coast cooler.
Wine spritzers.
But according to the coroner's report, they specify they were quiet drinks. So they just kind of sat there. I'm guessing Willie had finally stopped berating his wife and staff at this point. So Willie and Bernard were friends, but according to the Age article, it was a bit of a contentious relationship. Because Bernard was actually the one that introduced Karen to the lawyer who she wasn't getting legal advice of.
Oh, shit.
She was getting her leg over. That was Bernard. So Willie was a bit pissed off about that, even though he had about 400 girlfriends. It's like... You know, double standard vibes. But he still sought advice from Bernard a lot. His son, Andre, later said that the doctor was more like a counsellor to him. So eventually, Dr. Bernard Butler suggested
I keep thinking it's Gerard Butler. And I'm imagining him really hot.
I don't think he was.
No.
I actually looked for a photo, but I couldn't. I like photos, but I couldn't find one.
I like that you like photos. It's great to watch him slowly sort of decaying.
Into being... fat and sorry, I feel bad.
I feel bad. He had problems, but also he was yelling at his wife and
he
stuff.
He was yelling.
So, I mean,
that's not nice.
That's not
and
nice.
And having
behavior.
So many affairs. She was only having one affair.
Yeah.
He was having like six.
And like, don't threaten your wife to like leave for the Whitsundays with multiple women.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? You do. Just you are not one. Your young Willie Koppeloglen. Koppen.
I think it's Kirpen.
Kirpen. All right.
I don't
Kirpen.
Fucking know. We'll call him Willie. So Gerard Butler,
yep.
He said, let's go to my place for kick-ons. Again, I don't think he said that, but I'm improvising because I wasn't there. So they left the Cuckoo somewhere between 2 and 3 and drove after drinking for like 6 hours. But it was the 70s. No one cares if you wrap your car around a tree. That's fine. They drove 750 metres to Gerard Butler's house. And Willie stayed for another hour. They drank some more. And then, according to Gerard, I can't call
no,
him.
No, he's Gerard now. It's what he is.
And, like, have you seen Gerard Butler in movies where he's a bit fat?
Like what one?
Cam knows. What's that movie where he robs the place in...
Where is Cam?
50 Cent's in it. Den of Thebes.
I've not seen Den of Thebes.
He's a bit fat in that, right? Like a bit kind of muscly fat. That's how
like,
I picture.
Like sort of stocky.
Like his muscles have fat under them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just kind of...
They're sort of like exploding out of his body. Yeah.
It's a bit weird. Like he kind of worked out at the last second. Like he was like, oh, fuck, I'm in this movie with like all these hotter, younger people. I'll just do some push-ups. And he takes his top off and it's just a bit weird.
It's like,
it's made of Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here judging what this man's body looks like. My ankles look like fucking Christmas hams. So he left in his combi, which I have a picture of.
Great combi. Whoa.
It fucking
snowy.
But not in February, I'm guessing, because climate change wasn't quite in effect in 1976.
Yes.
But yeah, that's the combi and that's the cuckoo.
It's so snowy.
Does it snow a lot in the Dandenong?
David. That's David.
That's
we know
our colleague.
Who he is.
Get back here.
What are you
Sit
doing?
Down. I don't care if you can men get UTIs. I don't care if you get a UTI. You sit back down. Support my story.
I don't care if your bladder explodes.
I don't care if you get a... Actually, I do because then he can't work next week and over the Christmas break.
No.
We need him. We do need him.
David, you wee.
David,
you
empty that bladder. You be healthy.
Poor David. It's like the last person we should be roasting.
Yeah, we shouldn't.
He's so sensitive. Anyway, it's very...
Okay, so between 3 and 4, he got in that van.
Yes.
But not in the snow.
Not in the snow.
And he drove away from Gerard Butler's house.
Okay.
Then at 4:30,
yeah,
a cleaner named... Everyone has the dumbest names in this story. Nivelles? Nivelles Love.
What?
What?
These are not real names. That's not real.
N-I-V-E-L-L-E-S. Nivelles.
Like, I could believe Nivelles. It sounds maybe French.
It's not Neville. It has an S on the end.
What?
Nivelles. Anyway, the cleaner.
Nivelles.
The cleaner. We'll call them the cleaner.
The cleaner Nivelles.
They arrived at the cuckoo for their regular cleaning job. When she arrived, she found Willie's combi parked in the lower car park of the venue with the side sliding door open.
Uh-oh.
But there was no sign of the chef in or around the car.
That doesn't seem good.
It's not great.
Not ideal.
4:30 a.m., just door ajar.
Seems weird.
So she thought it was a bit odd, but got on with her cleaning shift. And even Willie's family weren't too worried because he'd been going, I'm going to with Sundays with all of my girlfriends and I'm going to do it. And they were like, cool, do it, bye.
Yeah.
But they probably thought it was a bit weird to kind of do it at 4:30 a.m. and leave it in the car half open, but he was a bit eccentric, you know.
And also he'd been like absolutely quaffing his alcohols with Gerard Butler.
So much
so
butterscotch
like
schnapps.
Really.
Was consumed.
You can't say no to Gerard. You just can't.
You can't. He's a very convincing man.
Even with his soft abs.
Soft, weird. I'll show you a photo at some point so you know what I mean. Cam knows what I mean. He's seen
you
the
were
movie.
Like, I don't know. You just did not think that we would have to be showing.
No, I do love to have photos to back up what I'm saying, but I didn't know Gerard would come up. So Karen assumed he'd gone up there. According to the Age article, the same Sunday that he disappeared, 4 sex workers, they did not call them sex workers. I did. They call them the wrong word. They and their boss came for lunch at the cuckoo, with the article saying the brothel madam told police that Mr. Willie invited them for lunch 3 days earlier so he could choose one of them to take to the island.
Oh, my God, Willie.
Is this the bachelor? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, to be fair, I guess if they're sex workers,
mm-hmm.
they're probably like that's their job.
Yes.
And then it's like, I would probably be pretty stoked to go to a Whit Sundays
the Whit
for
Sundays.
A while.
It's like quite a nice place.
And get paid for it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But a bit weird of like, oh, I'm going to select.
Yeah.
Just take all three of them. Have a party.
You've got enough money, Willie.
Four.
Be generous.
But 2 days later, by March the 2nd, Karen became concerned because she hadn't heard from Willie and his bank accounts hadn't been accessed. So then she called the police. In the meantime, their eldest child, 17-year-old Andre, headed up to the Whit Sundays with the restaurant manager to have a look, see if his dad was there. But no one was there and no one had been there. Like, there were no signs of it. I have a pic of Andre and his sister, Sabina.
Oh,
they look cool, don't they?
They look really cool. They look very half German.
Yeah.
Something about his little fringy curls and...
Yeah, and like her straight hair.
Yes.
Very, very straight, yes, 70s, <that's> like... I would look like a moon face if my hair was that straight.
Oh, yeah,
but she
same.
Suits it. But But they look very upset because their dad's missing.
Yep.
The cuckoo was surrounded by bushland, so the area was searched by police in the days following his disappearance. But it kind of seemed like they also thought he'd just chuffed off of his own free will. And usually we love to shit on the police, don't we?
We do normally, yes.
Love it. But I actually kind of get it because he was
100%
saying,
get that.
I'm going to go, I'm going to the Whitsundays. So, you know, what else could they think?
Yeah.
And he was in a bit of a bad state, so I can see why they came to that conclusion. One theory was also that he'd taken his own life somewhere in the bush because he was quite depressed.
David's back.
Hi, David.
You thought you were going to get in sneakily. That wasn't going to happen.
Never. But with no choice but to go on, Karen took over running the restaurant and kept it going. So here's Karen and the youngest child, Daniela. Also very sad. Also very straight hair.
Yeah, very straight hair. Was she German too?
Yes.
Yes, you did say that.
So she came over separately.
Yeah.
And then they both met.
Oh, that's cute.
In maybe like a German club.
Why am I daily going back to the beginning?
Let's go back to the start. Okay, where's the first page here?
It's like I just forgot.
No, I won't because I've been talking for 26 minutes.
You're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie.
So much to go. No, I finished that page. Look at me go.
Yeah, you're smashing it.
That's the end. So with no leads and no evidence of foul play, the case went cold until an insane development in 1991.
What?
When notorious underworld figure, who I know we're not supposed to like him, but I love him, Mark Chopper Reed, published his memoirs.
Secretly love him.
Look at him.
Oh, I mean, how can you not?
I love him. You know that I really want to write a story. And I've said it and I say it and Mel's like, yeah, we'll write it then. But then I just don't. But like Eric Bana was robbed. He should have won an Oscar for playing Chopper.
He was
fucking
great.
Brilliant in that movie.
He was great.
Anyway, there's Chopper. So he wrote this book, which I didn't write down the name of for some reason.
Doesn't matter.
I
mean, how
Google
many books
it.
Has Chopper Reed
I think
written?
Just the one, yeah.
You know? Figure it out.
So in the book, he recalled his time at Pentridge Prison. And he claimed that suspected serial killer and all-around nasty piece of work, another name I can't pronounce, Alex Sakmarkis, had bragged to him in prison about the murder of Willie Coppin.
Oh.
He wrote, I remember, just call him Alex for fuck's sake, I can't pronounce it. I remember Alex said the bloke owed him money and there was a falling out. Alex was into that murder up to his neck. He was proud as a peacock over that one. He also wrote, I can't remember whether Alex said he did that one.
What?
He did that murder. Or he had it contracted out.
Oh, right. Okay.
Alex used to eat at the restaurant and at times used to play cards with this fellow, being Willie, and others. Alex had ideas of investing in that restaurant or another with this chap and there was a falling out.
Oh, okay. I was like, where's the motive here?
Here's Alex.
Playing cards.
Even though I love Chopper, we'll move on.
Oh, bye, Chopper. Oh, Alex doesn't look very scary to me.
I'm scared of him. He's got those scary 70s glasses on.
Yeah, where they sort of like, are they those ones that like go tinted when you walk out? It's like, yes.
They're tinted.
Anyone that owns them is a serial killer.
That's hiding his bad, like his bad motives.
Yes.
Like hidden behind that tinting. You know he's got something to hide. But unfortunately for police, when the book came out, they couldn't question Alex. I'm just calling him like he's my best friend because I can't pronounce his surname. Good old Al. They couldn't question him over these claims because he'd been killed in prison by the Russell Street bomber. Great case file episode,
whoa.
By the way. I just
okay,
listened to
whoa
it.
Of all these people interacting in there, though.
So just in prison.
Just
like,
everyone. They're just like,
yeah,
what the
I
fuck did you do?
Kill the cuckoo guy. And then Craig Minogue, no relation to Kylie and but Danny,
upsettingly,
I don't think.
Would have been a fun
wild
twist.
If it was, though.
Wild. Maybe. Not maybe.
I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't
therefore,
know. Let's ask
maybe.
Kylie. I mean, I feel like Minogue is not a common surname.
I don't think
is
so.
Is it common
distant
in Melbourne?
Cousin. Distant cousin?
Yes.
Let's go there.
We're going to say it.
Maybe. So we don't
we
get
don't
sued.
We don't want to get sued. Anyway, Craig Minogue, not a nice person, he whacked Alex over the head with a pillowcase filled with gym weights.
Okay, that's aggressive.
In 1988, and Alex died.
Okay, well, you're probably going to die from that, I'm going to say.
I'm smiling because he was suspected of killing eight people.
Yeah, he's probably not a very good person.
He's
but
bad.
Also, yeah.
But I also mean, the other bloke's bad, so whatever. Mm. Chopper's cool, though.
Chopper's fine.
So police looked into it, but they never publicly confirmed or denied. I love it when they just don't say anything because then you can read into it a lot, which I like to do with everything. So I will. I'm reading into it. They said that they never said if there was a link between Willie and Alex and whether Willie did indeed owe the underworld figure money. They even looked into whether Willie might have been stopping, because he said he was going home, but then his car was found at the restaurant. So they thought maybe he'd been stopping by to take the night's earnings from the safe to give to someone, maybe this guy.
Yes.
But in a moment of foresight, Karen had taken the money herself because her husband was acting like such a cunt.
Oh my God, I love her. I love
her. She was like, you're being crazy. I'm taking this money.
She's such a fucking boss. Yeah. Like, what a smart woman.
So there was no money in the safe and therefore no money to be given to any shady underworld person.
What a shame.
So they killed him.
Oh, yes.
Whoops. I mean, Karen was thinking sensibly. She wasn't to know that this might happen.
No.
So Andre, Willie's son, he spoke to the Herald Sun in 2012 saying, I think there could be a link between Alex, Sackmarcus, and the sex workers. I'm saying sex workers. He didn't say sex workers. He said there was a lot of stuff going on with his parents, but pointed out, if he'd planned to nick off, he would have told us. Doll, he was telling you for 3 days.
Yeah, anyway, he really was.
Without money and without a passport, I just don't see it. So everything was found at the house, passport, everything.
Yeah.
I think he died that night. Looking at Sackmarcus and his history, I'd say it was pretty swift. So Andre also told the Herald Sun that thanks to Chopper throwing Sackmarcus under the bus, his daughter actually visited Karen to apologise, even though it was never proven. She just felt bad.
He said,
we think she wanted to reconcile the history of her father. She'd been quite troubled by his past and until recently knew nothing about it. She was only 3 at the time. Mum said she was a really nice person who was struggling to cope with her father's history. She was remorseful and quite shocked by the whole thing. It's just very sweet.
Yeah, it seems really nice.
Meanwhile, Willie's daughter, Daniela, so the little one.
Yeah.
She's not little anymore. She's a grown adult. She wants to believe her dad wasn't. Oh my God. I know. You're going to need that because it's dripping down my face.
Am I doing a good job of like the intermittent? Is it enough?
Got a bit of a sweat myself.
Oh, so do I. I think that's just a general heat, not a pregnancy heat.
Yeah, but there's also like nerves and lights. And
there's a lot going on.
So much. And you know, the pressure of getting this story right down to the last fact.
You're doing a really good job.
We love facts over here at All Aussie Mystery
Facts
Hour.
Only. It's All Aussie Mystery Facts Hour.
You know what was upsetting was this case wasn't on Wikipedia.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, the fuck. Worst. To do actual the research. Worst. I have to consult the Rangers Traders Mail to get my details. And that's the exact publication that Daniela spoke to.
Oh.
She said, my theory is it was accidental, mistaken identity murder. I think she's a bit of wishful thinking. She wants to believe her dad was a nice person.
Yeah.
She says she thinks the intended victim was somebody else who owed money for gambling debt to a group in the city.
Doll. What? I'm sorry. Who else is hanging out at the Cuckoo Club?
Yeah, at 4:30 in the morning in a combi looking like, exactly like Willie. He probably has his big chef hat on.
Yeah.
This big.
It's just so many different men in chef hats that look like Willie. So many of them.
She said, I think they thought they'd come up here and get the money from this particular person and he wasn't here. My father was locking up and leaving. Well, no, he was drunkenly driving around after talking to Dr. Gerard Butler for hours. And they probably took him away. I don't think he was murdered here, but I do believe he was murdered. There's no way he would have left us. He loved his kids. His relationship wasn't great with his wife, but he was still here. He had no money, no passport. Where do you go? How do you get anywhere? A very good point.
Yeah, look, I believe her on that part.
Oh, I thought I only had half a page to go. I don't. So then the Age also reported that a South Australian man in 2014 claimed that he killed Willie. He was apparently wildly jealous of Willie dating a woman that he was interested in. But when police looked into it, Willie had broken things off with her like ages before his death, and they couldn't link the man to the crime because nobody, no evidence, nothing. So Daniela says of this lead and Chopper's story, they are stories. They're all hearsay. There's no evidence. We haven't actually had anybody say, I was there, I was part of it. We've got this Chopper story and, well, is that legitimate? People lie.
They do lie.
Chopper is like probably not the most
Chopper
trustworthy
would never lie.
Person.
Yeah, no. Maybe don't believe Chopper.
I feel like he spins yarns, So when I was researching this, I'd like blocked out in my mind that he died.
Oh, he did die.
And then I felt sad again for this terrible man
just
that died.
Love this horrible man.
I think I just like the Eric Banner movie. And
I think it's that we like Eric Banner.
The same person.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I didn't like Eric Banner in Dirty John. I have a complicated relationship with Eric Banner.
There's a lot going on.
I interviewed
on there.
Him once and he was rude to me.
Yeah, you told me that once.
Tea.
Special celebrity tea from Josie.
Just like not very friendly, you know? And I always thought he was.
Yeah, he seems friendly. Anyway.
Anyway. What are we talking just about? Shitting on Eric Banner.
just a casual. You just came to the Eric Banner like sledge hour
yes,
over here.
That's what this is now. I can throw this away. I've got all the facts here in my heart. So in 2012, police reopened the investigation, came to the same conclusion as the family. That Willie's disappearance was most likely a homicide. In 2013, then Detective Senior Sergeant Ron Ron Ittles, the good cop.
Ron Ittles, the good cop. Oh my God, I would
Ron's
love to meet
here tonight.
Ron Ittles.
No, he's not.
I wish
tonight.
He was here.
Wouldn't that if we were just like
Ron
Ittles?
And he would be like, "Why am I doing this podcast? Mine is very superior and much more professional."
And I'm just like a better person
like,
in every
it's
way. He's like such a good human, yeah.
And we're like serious.
So he reported Willie's death to the coroner's court, and in 2018 there was an official coronial inquest into the case. So these were the official findings. This is boring, but I have to read them because they're important. As Willie has never been located, his body has not been examined to identify a cause of death. I submit, this is the coroner talking, not me. I didn't have anything to do with this. I submit that it is not possible to make a finding with respect to the cause of his death. That's boring, blah, blah, blah. and it's unlikely to establish either the identity of the person or persons, if any. It's just so vague.
Yeah.
Who caused Mr. Willie's death.
Mr. Willie.
Or the circumstances in which the death occurred. The inquest officially ruled Willie Kirpin's death as an unsolved homicide. Mm. So it's just like, cool, we knew that.
Yeah.
But
it's like
it's official. Like we've officially.
So many words just to get to that bit.
Yeah. After years of you guys thinking it, we've officially taken more years to confirm that for you. Leaving his family with zero answers for 40 years.
Oh, that's upsetting.
But in happier news, the cuckoo has now been running for over 60 years. It's still there. It still exists. There was always the disappearance of Willie kind of hanging over the place, but Karen maintained it and it's remained a popular venue to this day. So I looked in the group on Facebook and someone had put this case in as a suggestion. And then another group member named Amy commented this. As a zesty side story, in around 2007, a couple of thieves broke into the cuckoo and thought they'd grabbed big bags of cash, $30,000 worth, but they'd actually grabbed $5 worth of bread rolls.
That's so good.
And during the bumbling break-in, one of them shot the other in the butt.
Oh my God. You couldn't even write that movie script.
I know, it's so good. Anyway. That's Daniela. She, the youngest daughter,
that?
She's not a baby anymore. I don't know. I don't write down facts.
Oh, sorry.
I just stole all these pictures from Google. It's fine. So she took over running it a couple of years ago. She says, "I'm here as the daughter fulfilling the initial dream and bringing the cuckoo back the way my dad did, the food and the atmosphere."
I love that.
And that's...
I want to go.
That's the sad, unsolved story of Mr. Willie.
What do you think happened?
I think he was in the Whit Sundays.
Just like... with the same three sex
workers. The same three sex workers were like,
I'm so
bored of this man.
He's like, okay, now I'll pay... The bill is up to like, you know, 100.
Yeah, he's like, I swear
million
I'm good
dollars.
For it. I'm good for it. Yeah. I'd like to think, just like Harold.
Yeah.
That he just kind of went, no, yeah. He's a mermaid.
Yeah, he's a mermaid.
Clearly doesn't listen to the podcast. So that was one of the theories, but not the theory.
Everyone knows Harold's a mermaid now.
I don't know. I think Mr. Willie is dead. Well actually, it was 40 years ago. So he'd be like 86.
Do you know what I was thinking?
This person thinks he's dead, so we're done here.
Facts only. You're like, I did it. And I knew you were doing this story and I just came
to just confirm what we already knew.
And because you can't see us because it's like a void of black out there, you'll
never
know
them.
Who it was.
Look, there she is. She's running away.
She's running away. She's running away.
Like, you'll never catch me.
As I slowly walk out the
she's
door.
She's really aged well, considering that was 40 years
great.
Ago.
Great. Looking fantastic.
She looks 20.
What skincare are you using? Do you know what I was thinking on a serious note when you were talking about the, like, he used to go and, like, play cards with him?
Yes.
Like, don't you reckon there would have been money involved in that?
Yes.
I reckon that's what it was.
And, like, I think Daniela hit the nail on the head, yes. except she was like, it's someone, he thought it was someone else. No.
No, doll. No,
it was him.
To so borrow I think a term he was just,
because he was, like, upset in the days leading up to it. Like more upset than usual.
Yeah.
Because he was just a generally upset man at this point.
Yes.
But he was quite upset. Like maybe he was up to something
I
and
think
up to
the
his
tenseness was the
neck in debt.
Yep.
Or something.
I think so.
Yes.
We've solved it.
We've solved it. Fun. So we can someone go make a Wikipedia page. Put all this in there.
Yeah, make a Wikipedia page
done.
For it.
There's no Wikipedia. There's none.
That's rude.
So weird. Anyway, that's me done.
Cool. Well, we're going to have like an intermission where we go and wipe the sweat moustaches off our faces. And then we'll be back for round two.
Thank you.